Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. Good family, guess who's back on the Blog Talk scene and circuit, and it is what it is. I'm about to go live with my brother Avenue Swift. He's got some new music out. For those who have not heard the new music, you can find that on my Spreaker. I'm not going to play any sort of type of music tonight. Right now, I really want to touch down and touch base with the brother. I'm going to ask a few questions. I want to get it out there. You know, I want my brother to be able to speak his mind. I want him to be able to elaborate on the situations, the social dynamic. I want him to be free tonight. You know, the music is the music, and his music is great. That's why I had to drop it earlier, because I couldn't even put it to the situation that I have right now. But I do have the brother on the line. I don't even know if y'all heard the phone clicking and ringing. I do have the brother on the line right now. Before I bring him on, I just want to address a lot of the haters. Somebody came on earlier as I was promoting this show. They say, you suck. My peoples, my individuals, all I'm saying to y'all is step your game up. If you haven't been recognized by the independent artists, then you really haven't been recognized. I've been recognized by independent artists and those who are inside the industry. I grew up around Murder Mook and Tank Thompson. One is independent, one is signed, and really not doing nothing. The goal is, and the agenda is, what are we going to do with this positivity or this gift that we have via music, via social media, via whatever it is that we have? What are we going to do with it? I'm hoping that my voice is being heard. Brother, I just opened up your microphone. Are you on the line with us?
Yo, 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 what's poppin', what's poppin'?
My dude. Now, as I was trying to say, I could not get your music loaded onto the Spreaker site. Somebody gave me a Mac. I don't even know how to use a Mac. I'm trying my best to get the music on. This is why I put your music out there earlier on the mixtape type circuit. So they already got the 5 songs that they heard you and me promoting it. They already got the 5 songs. So now I gotta prick and I gotta pry into your mind tonight, and I gotta dig. So I want to know, first things first, what you think about this music game as it is right now?
I think, honestly, I was just having a conversation like right before I called you. I just think, honestly, they giving the majors like a big, big pass. And I mean majors, like any artist that has a deal, anybody that's on the radio. Like, for instance, you get a lot of these DJs that probably never heard of you, but don't know that you're the man in your city. You doing numbers. You providing for your family off these shows. So they play you as if you're nobody and hit you with a pay for a slot, or, well, donate some money for this, that, and third. You get a big name that comes along, they dick ride. I don't know if I could cuss, my bad, but
hold on, let me fall back. Let me let you have the rules of the game right now. You can say what you want. You can spit what you want. If you want to do a freestyle, you can do that if you want. If you want to say fuck the world or ask me for shit, you can do that if you want. If you want to say Tupac right now, you can do that if you want. You got a limited time space. But listen here, I'm not putting no restrictions on you and what you feel. I don't think you're going to put that same thing on me. Let's just drop your seat right now, because obviously the game is full of bullshit. The streets is full of bullshit. These niggas that are out here talking is full of bullshit. And real niggas, they're going to stand up where they at. So I need you to be on your real nigga shit tonight. Click the mic on.
I got you. Well, I mean, basically, man, to sum it up, man, like for instance, man, I give you a prime example. 2 days ago, I'm in a studio. I get a DM from a magazine. Hey, we heard your music. Would you like to be featured on a such and such mixtape or be featured in a magazine. I'm not sure what's the catch. So they replied a day later, they hit me with a fee. And I responded, I'm like, do you want to know a little secret? I'm featured in two big magazines that's dropping for free. They came at me, they interviewed me, I sent everything back. So why would I pay you? I don't even know you. I don't know your brand, so it wouldn't make sense. So then he replies back, such and such in my family is a manager for Wayne and for Drake, and we in the studio right now at the Young Money headquarters, and he screenshots a photo. And I replied back like, congratulations. I wish y'all nothing but success. What does that got to do with me? I still got to feed my family. I still got to feed my peoples. And it's a lot of people in the game using their celebrity status, or because they hang around someone with money, they feel like they get money. No, you're still a lame. So they feel like they can use big names and act like I haven't been around these people or been popping bottles with these people out of town and traveling and been on these shows. So they think that they can pressure you into giving up some money. For one, if what he said was 100% true, why are you trying to get my money? You rich already. If I'm getting money, I'm not going after nobody trying to solicit nothing. I'm going to put you on. And this is what I was telling my mans before I hit you. I feel like, honestly, the way the rap game is going backwards. They not doing business with people they don't know, and they doing business with people that they do know, and they getting burnt. I would rather put somebody on that I don't know, that I heard, and I like their music 100%. I'd rather put them on, and that's how you build your brand and you become more popular, not playing what everybody else is playing. That's why I don't listen to the radio. I listen to Sirius Radio, Satellite, because they play a bunch of stuff that the regular stations don't play. I like to be different. So why go after a name that's been co-signed by somebody you know versus somebody that's blowing him out of the water? You're not putting him on. So you got this artist over here on the sideline. You got artists on the sideline chilling while you bringing all these people on your radio shows, you putting them in the magazines, you saying you pushing the culture forward. How are you pushing the culture forward when you're only pushing the majors and you're raping the indie artists, or you're trying to overtax them? A lot of these artists is not making money like that. I can vouch for that. A lot of these artists is not selling out shows. I can vouch for that. I've seen it for myself. A lot of these big artists, even the biggest artist you know right now, I was at one of his shows. He did not sell out a show. So I'll let you know that all these numbers and all this shit that they're talking about is not accurate.
I call it hyperinflation. It's the same thing that goes on YouTube. Like, you know, some of us deal in the YouTube world, and it's like, if I got 5 or 6 YouTube channels, that's already, I can go in, you know, to my different channels and like from the 5 different channels, and then I'm going to get money from the 5 different channels from looking at the AdSense and all that. But it's hyperinflation. It's a false sense of reality. And this is why I love the independent circuit, because it might be a false sense of reality, but the false sense of reality still makes sure that you and I, or anybody else who's trying to get paid off of that circuit, gets paid. My thing is, it's a lot of fuck shit. So I asked everybody a question 2 years ago. Maybe 2 to 3 years. I'm not sure how long ago it was that I interviewed you, because there was so many interviews. But I think it's about 2 years ago, and your track that I remember that focus, because I heard it again, was I get the paper or I get the money.
I get the paper.
You know, so that was a track that I know I played from you. That was the one that I can remember that I heard that you got posted on YouTube. And I asked you a question then. I said, yo, in 3 to 5 years, where do you find yourself in this game? So now it's a reload. It's a recap. It's that time. You got a year left towards the question, where have you found yourself in this game as opposed to 2 years ago?
What's crazy, everything I said 2 years ago has happened or just happened within months. I've been on the road doing shows. I got outside of California because I'm from California. A lot of people don't know that. They think I'm from down south by the way I talk or the certain type of music I put out, but I'm from California. I finally got outside of California. I own my own studio. I've been getting offers from A&Rs and deals and all this old crazy shit going on, but I'm still indie. So everything I said that I was going to do is happening. Now my next step is to get to the masses on this radio. Just show people from my block and people that doubted me that this kid that you said couldn't do nothing, he got a song on the radio, and I feel like everything else is a bonus. So next year, is just like you said, the last year, that's my goal, to get 2 records on the radio. Top 10, top 5, whatever they want to call it. I don't really be focusing on numbers, but to show the people that said I couldn't do it, I did it. They said I was washed up. I can't rap. I dropped songs. People from all over hollering at me to come do shows. People hollering at me to do radio. People hollering at me to get into magazines. People hollering at me to do the videos. They said, yo, you're not going to this, you're not going to that. Everything else happened. So everything I told you is kind of funny you asked me that, because when I said it, I was like 80% like sure, and then the other 20, I was like, man, there's a slim chance it won't happen. So I wasn't 100% sure, but now that we're speaking about the subject, everything I told you has happened. I stopped doing free shows. So,
you know, I'm in the world of manifestation. I ain't mean to cut you off. My people, the people that I engage with, you know, I don't know if you've listened to me outside of the radio and the music and shit, but I'm
nah,
a very
I do. Your truth is crazy.
Yeah, you know, you're not the only person that said that. This is what got me very popular on Twitter. What I'm saying is I'm a very thoughtful brother. I bring shit to the forefront, and I want people to just think about they shit. I want you to think about the life that you live in, the music that you produce, and the energy that you give in. And what you just said to me is like, yo, I manifested what I wanted so far, but I still have some manifestations to go. And I was just talking to a sister. I'm literally just talking to his sister. You can probably see the tweets right now. That's live. I'm talking to her because she stepped out of a realm of indoctrination. And it wasn't even like I'm at the church and I'm on praying to Jesus. So it's like I'm a moral, I'm a Hebrew. It wasn't none of this extra bullshit that's going on inside our community. Shorty was in a sect and she stepped out of it and seen the light. I tried to warn the people that was in that sect 2 years ago about the bullshit. This is what you need to learn. This is what you need to see. This is what this dude is doing to you. And if you don't see him doing this to you, you're going to fall for the trap. Shorty didn't even need me to help her fall for the trap. So my thing is, in the essence of the music, because I listened to all 5 tracks. I got your old tracks. And I literally watched you do a freestyle with another brother on YouTube. And if I was to compare freestyles verbatim and say who won that, like, you ate this dude up. He was having fun. He was dropping his bars.
Oh, you talking about that was with this kid from St. Louis. And what's crazy is I think that was April Fool's, man. The cameraman brought us out. I barely met dude peoples that day, and they played like a crazy April Fool's trick, and then after that we went to go shoot the video. But it's funny you said that about 300 other people told me that. Like, why you even do a video with Lane? Like you ate him up.
Yo, bruh, what I'm trying to say is you went in there, you dropped bars. I'm not knocking homie for what he did or what he said. I think for him and for maybe his audience, that was proper. Like, he was doing him for his audience. He was doing him for the time period. But I like a lyricist. And I heard you, and I'm like, this nigga went in on the lyrics. Now I got to listen to this bullshit. So it's like, you – some people need, they need to understand that you cannot go after somebody who's better than you if you understand and you know that that person's better than you. It's best that you go first and you know what I mean? You open up the show. That's what I was looking at. Damn, that nigga needed to open up the show and let you finish, but he finished and you opened up the show, so it really made him look worse of that. This is why I like my position in the game. I'm not going to sit down and spit, even though I can, because it's like my position in the game knows that I can observe lyrics, I can hear them out, I can see the thought inside the lyrics. I'm a fan of like a Sheik or a Jadakiss. You know them niggas go deep. Sheik, Jadakiss, and
yeah, they my
they
top
like
five.
I
listen to them a lot, man. I get some of my influences from them.
So you understand where I'm coming from when I say like lyrically, I look for something different. I love music. I've been pumping out music daily. I got Fetty Wap on my shit, Kurt Cobain, Kent Jones, Mano, Chinks, you know, rest in peace to Chinks. And the reason
I've been
playing
listening to
Chinks
his stuff
lately,
a lot.
The reason I've been playing Chinks lately, right, is because I got a close connection to him. My wife used to work for his wife. You know, light skinned chick that's all on the radio. My wife worked for his wife. So my wife knows Chinks' wife. That's why when he died, she came to me, she like, yo, you know, my homegirl's husband passed. I'm like, what are you talking about? She like, yo, he's some kind of famous rapper. I'm like, you mean Chinks? She like, yeah, Chinks, what? So it caught me off guard. Then the day of his funeral, I go by the shit and I see, you know what I mean, Lisa Evans, everybody. And so I've been playing Chinks on the regular. I'm about to go buy his album and try to put that out there piece by piece, bit by bit. But I got your music now, so don't be surprised if I drop a new mix. And it's like, I got Avenue Swift, Fetty Wap, Chink, Prince Montana.
I like that. You want to know what's crazy, man? I got a hold of Chinks because I got the email. I pulled it up, and it was crazy. I'm like, man, it's the last thing I got of him responding or somebody from his team. I was going to do a song with him and French. I was trying to get French prices down a little bit because I thought it was like kind of bogus. So I was like, "Yo, I want you and French." And I dropped the door. I actually sent him the I Get the Paper joint. I was like, "Can you hop on this as a remix?" And they responded back like, "Yeah, get it over here. We got it." And I was trying to get French, but it was hard to negotiate that.
You know what, bro? I wouldn't be surprised if the song is out there, because as I've heard from Chinks is that he had the work dynamic. So the song might be made. It might be in the studio, might be produced and ready, but the fact that he's passed and they need to do finances and company it's going to be a whole other ball game. So I literally listened to RL from Next on the Breakfast Club the other day. He's like, I got a whole other Next album, but we're not releasing that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You seen that, right?
Yeah, I've seen that. That's crazy.
How much music have we missed out on due to the fact that corporate structures and business-wise, see, on independent label, you could drop that shit. You go drop that, you're going to put that on the mixtape, you could either make money or not make money off it. The majority of you making money off it would be the show.
Yeah.
But the dropping of the track is going to create the buzz. And this is what I'm saying. I'm going to ask you again. Do you think that indie is better than that major label contract?
Yeah. Most definitely. Like say, for instance, like all the joints I sent you are two of the joints are 2 days apart, which they're like 4 or 5 days old, and those both together got over 12,000 plays on audiomac.com. So just alone, that let me know that people was like paying attention. And then as I'm talking to you, somebody just tweeted they played that song on the radio, and then other people was getting it. So the indie is 100% perfect, but when you want to get to like live streaming, as far as, you know, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, and things of that nature, it's kind of a little hard to get it on your own. You always got to go through a third party, and a third party person might have this big account with them and raping you while they making numbers on the side, and then also the return, you ain't getting no money. So it's almost like if you don't know that right direct source to get you in these avenues as these majors, your music is just going to stay at a level unless you really in the streets popping and pushing. That's why I be in the streets a lot. I go touch the people. I don't sit behind a computer all day and just email music. Like, I'm at people's shows. Like, if it's an artist I'm trying to get him on a show, a song, he ain't answering me, I either pay to get in a show or I know somebody in that city that slide me through. I'm like, what's popping? It was Av from, oh, yeah, yeah. And then it's always that fake smile and number, and then nothing don't happen. So a lot of artists that I used to respect in the game, I don't respect them no more because, you know, just keep it a hire. If you don't like this song or if you can't do it, your label won't let you do it, just holler at me. It's all right. Like, we'll work something out. So independent is, like, great right now. But I just feel like it should be more love with these radio shows, especially for my city. Like, especially for just California in general. They say, oh, we support indie artists. An artist is not indie if he has any type of deal. Any type of major distribution, he's not indie. I'm all the way independent. I have no deal, no nothing. So whatever you've seen, the numbers you've seen, the shows I've done, that's off of people liking my music and want to fly me out and like, yo, you look like somebody. Like do this show. I'm like, all right, cool. That's the difference between an indie and, you know, a dude that's on an independent label with major distribution, and then you got the majors. The only thing that I would say with indie is the money you're getting, you can spend that real fast and forget to file your taxes because you don't got. I mean, you may not have the money to have like a team to take care of your finances. And a lot of people come from the hood and they don't know what taxes is, or they don't know what this is, this, that, and the third, or what type of form to file and all this crazy madness. So I suggest, like, you get educated on that because the more money you make, the more money they don't want you to get.
Let's talk about this tax burden because I have an uncle who's in California right now. This nigga's been on Kenan and Cal. He's been on Orange is the New Black. He's been on a bunch of freaking shows.
Damn.
Like, I will be watching movies and see my uncle and be like, yo, y'all see you? I got to tell my kids, yo, you know that's your uncle. They be like, oh, shit, Uncle Rahelio was in the movie. My thing is, his tax finances or his tax situation is fucked up. Why? Because that situation of being an entertainer is different from them taking taxes out of your daily check. Like, your check or whatever that you get is different from my check, which already has the taxes taken out of. You get
but
the money
you know why, though?
You have to incorporate.
But you know why, though? Because you're your own entity, like you're your own brand. So say, like, for instance, you go work at McDonald's. Like, everybody use McDonald's as an example. McDonald's is a corporation. You're under them. So they get a tax credit for things you do. They can file certain things for claiming you as an employer, just in general, the business, to protect it. Once your, like, say, for instance, your show, like, V-Dub, Indie Dynasty Radio, right, and you got this big corporation, you got people under you, you giving them checks, and you giving them the full amount, you don't have to tell them, yo, make sure you go file your taxes. They should know, like, oh, man, I should go file taxes because this is going to be ugly at the end. Anybody that owns a business should know that Uncle Sam's going to be after you regardless. It's only so much that you could do to not pay a certain amount of taxes, but you got to pay that shit. Everything I get off the fly, I file. And the thing that kills me is, you know, a lot of these rappers that claim they get money, they'll never have no tax returns. So you ain't getting, I mean, you ain't doing something. But then again, you know, it's the It's the independent grind, the cash, you know, throw me the cash under the table, I want to file taxes and stuff like that. But as far as your uncle, man, he should know, man. It sounds like he in Hollywood. So
yeah.
He should know about
now,
that.
Listen,
like,
he should
know.
But his managers don't you know, listen, when your manager's your mother's got her own priorities going on. She's not going to be focused on the entertainment aspect because she's not an entertainment lawyer or entertainment accountant. This is what I'm trying
True.
To say to my brothers and sisters. You can, even though you love your mama, she is not the entertainment connoisseur. She does not know the laws, the aspects. She does not know the trade. And she's, you know, she got to pay her bills too. So she ain't going to really focus on everything that encompasses your abilities or your talent. So it's like, I might, you know, if you do hire an entertainment lawyer, they focus primarily on your entertainment contract, your movie contract. They're going to help you out somewhat. I'm not saying that they're going to be 100% behind
they
ain't going to swindle you. I'm just saying that that's their job, to be focused on the entertainment aspect of the business and what you should be filing, what you should not be filing. So what happens with him, I don't know. Like I said, family, I cut all ties with my family when it comes to shit like that because they don't want to hear me out. Because I'm going to tell them the guys not it's true. Sounds like you're being robbed, my nigga. People don't want to hear that shit. They want to say, well, I'm doing good. I'm making this show. I did this movie. I'm on this set. I made this accolade. Yes, but what money do you have? What substance do you have? And what longevity do you have? Nigga can't tell me that shit, so I walk the fuck away, family. I literally cannot argue and debate with people about their future and how they want to structure themselves on their future. And that's what we were talking about. We were talking about money, and I think you said you had mentioned something about, like, just females being successful in the industry. Yo, that shit right there goes across the board.
Yeah.
We have specifically the black dynamic of black females are the most educated women in America, yet the black community is the worst community in America. So my question is, how can you be at the top, the backbone of the community, the leaders of the community, because black men are in jail, yet the community is the worst community? So either the most educated is producing the worst community. I need to know what you think about that.
I just feel like it starts, like I say this all the time, it starts with parenting, how a person was raised, what was embedded into their mind as far as the perception about life and what they want to do. And for instance, look at the man that has all the money. He feels he doesn't have to work for anything. So what he does, he goes find a chick, flashes the money, goes and takes her shopping, buy her all expensive purses, buy her all the most expensive shoes, the cars, the clothes, the whole nine yards, right? The girl starts to realize he's not up to par with intelligence. I need somebody that's smart and intelligent like me. So things go wrong. The girl now benefited off of his profit and his blessings, so now she's at the upper level. So here comes along this guy that doesn't have nothing, has a regular 9-to-5, stays in a one-bedroom apartment, don't got no furniture, barely making it, living check to check, but he's interested into the female. Now she's on her high horse. Instead of putting him on and showing him something that she said the other dude was lacking and putting him on to something so they could both build, what she do? She down talks him. She complains about things he don't have. She knocks him down while he's already down.
What
does
brother,
that dude
do? You on 100%. You on 100 right now. You know what? I just brought a sister on the line. I think we got like a minute or so left on the live broadcast. I brought a sister on the line. She ain't pushed one. She ain't say nothing. But I really respect this sister. Divine Queen, your mic is open. What do you think about our conversation right now, sister? Don't be shy. Divine Queen, your mic is open. What do you think about what
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yo, yo.
Hello, greetings.
Hello, hello.
How you doing? I'm enjoying
I'm
the conversation. I'm listening at the moment, and just because I came in a bit late, so I'm trying to pick up on where you lot are at.
Well, what we're talking about is basically how, you know, some of our sisters might be in a predominant situation here in America, because you're in the UK. In America, some of our sisters are in a predominant situation, and they utilize that predominant situation and use it against the black men that they're in relationships with. But, like Kristen and Karazhan and the rest of these motherfuckers who get mad and talk to her about when they're in a situation with a white man, it's not so complicated. But I understand that my sisters who love black men actually want to work with black men, and I think that's what the brother was touching on. But we're sitting down looking at the aspect of when we're with you, our sisters, it's like a fucking battle. But we look at you inside your other relationships, and it's like, damn, y'all comfortable, y'all submissive. So when we go and do our thing in the other relationships, quote unquote, it's like we're comfortable, they're submissive. What's the animosity about when we do it? And why should black, you know, there's a bunch of black men that get mad when you guys do it. So we want to know, I think that's what me and brother asked. We want to know why this bullshit exists if, you know, about interracial dating. Why does this bullshit exist if we can't, as a collective people, be united and submissive to each other inside our relationship? That way we can be productive.
Right, I hear you now. Okay, I'm up to speed now. Personally, I feel there's some serious mental slavery going on. That's what I personally feel. And I'm seeing it from both sides, because I'm seeing it from the way black women in the UK act compared to black women in the USA act. But I'm only seeing the way the sisters in the US act via social media. I really don't understand how they are at home. But if I'm going by their social media personalities, it's disgusting. It really is. Because I'm not used to it. It's not something that I see. It's not something that happens over here. And it's especially the gender war between black men and black women. I don't understand this. This is alien to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it seems like for me, as being an entertainer, I get through out there as the famous entertainer. And I'm still going through the same problems as everybody else. I'm a struggling artist.
Wow.
So I'm not there yet, but my image and everything I do, and I carry myself well to the average mind, that confuses them, and they don't know, and they just think I'm big, and then they start having fear and start having doubts. And it just seems like nowadays you can't be in a relationship with a woman or a pretty female or someone you think is beautiful without having some type of money or some type of notoriety or some type of status for her to speak to you or for her to even say hi. Like, for instance, me and Vida can get on.
Let me tell you what's going on right now, because it's just to understand. I'm an employee of an organization, right? This corporate organization is giving me a lot of perks and pluses, but I'm being chastised online for having this job as a known convicted felon, violent. I'm a known convicted violent felon. I can show you the paperwork. But the brothers who say that, you know, we need to change in that, oh, our people need a chance, and that even if they're being convicted for felonies that the white man put them into this situation of, they need to be able to have jobs. So I'm an example of those people who can go get those fucking jobs. These managers have keys to safes and do other things. You're not being chastised online for having a job for people who don't have a job. Prove that they have one. This is literally what's going on. That's why I brought that sister on the line. I didn't even ask her to bring on the line. I brought her on the line because she understands the situation. She knows. This is literally going on within the black male community, and I can't even go at the sisters until I clean house.
Right. And I cannot even go. I'm trying not to go in on the brothers and deal with the sisters. So this is why I wanted to work with you, Vida, because while you're there trying to deal with the brothers, I wanted to take on the sisters.
And you see where I'm at right now, my sister. You see, this brother came to me. He's like, yo, I got music with the fucking fire right now. I put the shit out. It's on my speaker. It needs to be heard. I'm going to promote it every day like I do on Google Plus with the rest of the music. You know what I'm saying? But the brother said, yo, I want to speak.
Yeah, you're a sim.
And I promise you, I'm giving this brother two more episodes so that he can break down, because I know, Avenue Swift, that you got a lot more shit on your mind that you really want. Donald Trump, immigration, finances, the Pope coming to New York. I can't cover that because we about to get cut off this line in a couple of minutes, to be honest with you, Brother Avenue. But the thing is, I needed you to come on so that people could understand this shit is real. What we do as a people, how we promote ourselves or how we combine is literally all that we have. It's all that we have. It's all that we can utilize. So if I'm allowed to buy your mixtape as opposed to download it, I would prefer that. Be it $1, $2, $3, $4, $5. I would prefer
I get a lot of people telling me that. Yeah,
I would prefer to download it because that means that I am literally supporting black business, black owned, black incorporated. That's what it means to me. But I got to make sure that I put out, or I am a median so that you can give partially your stuff for free and that people can search you out and find the things that they could buy. That's my goal.
Yeah.
I make no money off of this. I does not make money off of this. I don't ask anybody for money from this. I tell you straight up and down, I do it for free. This is my passion. This is what I would like to do. And I want you guys to be more profitable. If you decide to turn around and say, here's $20, thank you. You know, I'll be grateful. I'm going to do my thing. That's it. That's all I ask. You know, when you turn around and you see the success, you say, hey, nigga, that's a five. Here's a blunt. Here's a bottle of Henny. Thank you. You put me in a place I didn't even know that I was heading in. That's my goal, because the connection here is the connection there. Right now you're talking to a sister in London. Who knows when you'll be out there?
Wow.
That's dope right there. That's
and
dope.
If you can get his name out here, I will do anything I can.
Yeah, see, we need to chat off air and arrange some stuff, because my partner, he be out there a lot. Like he be in California and London, and that's one place he been trying to get me to go. I've just been so focused on trying to get home base and get the state on fire before I go somewhere else. But everyone's just telling me, man, like, if they ain't catching on and other people catching on, you gotta do a movement. You gotta travel. And it's funny because, like, my music is gravitating everywhere else now. Like, I drop it and I see people from, like, Canada playing it. I see people down south. I see people overseas. So now I'm knowing, like, okay, I'm making the music that people like, and I just got to come back around, just like you said, and find those people that want to support the black businesses. But the crazy thing is, you know, just coming from the area that I come from, they don't want you to make it. They want you to still be on that same block, starving and not getting
right?
no money. Yeah,
you're
California.
Right? All I want to tell you is give these motherfuckers a middle finger, because they call y'all mayates. Get them niggas a middle finger. Tell them stop dancing to reggaeton if they don't like your black ass. Bang. Another middle finger, right? Get your ass on the plane and you start hitting me. Australia, Japan, London.
Germany.
I got hits from Paris and I got hits from United Kingdom. I don't know if Divine Queen has been listening to my mixtapes in Paris, but I doubt it. So that means that somebody else was from London or in Paris listening to my shit. Somebody was in France listening to my shit. And I write these blogs about Sarah Bartman. I got hit from, listen, my Sarah Bartman blog has got hit from every place in the globe that has a place with internet. Thing is, brother, we just got to push, work, and not bind ourselves to a limited sector, portion, group, dynamic. We can't bind ourselves anymore because we bind ourselves, just stuck in that.
I don't think it's us, though. I think it's the industry. It falls back to the major thing.
I can see the problem is you're in a different aspect of music, so you can push your music onto other cultures and dynamics because we have Twitter. But on YouTube,
yeah.
on YouTube, it's a very small, limited dynamic. And this is,
yeah,
this is why I walked into that situation, because I wanted to broaden it. I wanted to give it a life, but I can't. There's nothing I can do with that sector of YouTube that is called the black sector. There's nothing I can do with it.
Nothing
but outside of it, I can do what I'm doing with you. Reach the globe. Reach the masses. Play the music. People in Africa are going to hear this shit. And you know what they're going to say? Abin and Swift, I want to hear his music. You know what they're going to say? I got this nigga music on the speaker. They might hit that up on the speaker, and it's a rap, man. That's five songs, and then just, oh, shit, I want to hear the whole version. That's it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's all we need. That's outside of the black sector, because black people become tribalized. It's the same shit as church. You know how you go to church and you see all these Negroes in the church and they like, oh, my preacher this. But you go to church down the block and it's the same shit. Like, their preacher is the preacher of the all preachers. Y'all niggas is preaching the same Bible, but y'all on the same block, but y'all different. It's the same shit. It's the same shit here. It's the same. See, my sister knows. It's the same shit on YouTube. It's the same. But on Twitter, it's a different ball game. And that's when you hit me up on Twitter, I was like, all right, cool. You hit me up months ago about this interview. That's why I don't know.
Yeah,
because I don't have this. I don't have the medium for Blog Talk. Like, we're going to get cut off soon. I'm going to have to pay for it so we can have a two-hour joint. Because I respect what we're doing here. But I see what's going on, and that's why me and the team pulled back from being on Blog Talk years ago.
Wow.
When was the last interview we did, Avenue Swift? 2 years ago?
Yeah, probably like two, like,
you know how many,
like two
you know
and
how
half.
Many people I have interviewed in, within that 2 years, and it's like, I got you, I got them, I got this, but I can't present that to, quote, unquote, the black sector of YouTube because they don't understand. I can't present that to the conscious community because they don't understand it. I can't present that to the black community because they don't understand it. But we get hit about our interviews and about our shows daily. Indie Dynasty on Blog Talk Radio gets a hit to 30 every fucking day. I cannot even track which shows people are listening to. I just understand that they're listening to them. So when I hear, I get the paper that you dropped 2 years ago, been popping, I'm like, damn, I need to bring these artists back out, and I'm not the only person. Like, you need to be on the other people's show. You don't just need to be here. You need to be on the other black blog talk shows and the circuit, and I can push you that way. But my thing is, do I want to put you in that position with these as people?
He needs to be on particular. He needs to be on certain blog talk shows. Make sure you stress that out. Not all of them are good.
Exactly. That's what
I'm
saying. Like, I would love to
present
you. I want the music to be out there, brother. This is what I'm saying. I want your music to be out there. I want everybody's who's independent music to be on every black blog talk show. But I'm naive in that sense because all these people are not ready as a people to be supportive to our people. That's so fucking sad to me. But I'm going to continue to do my job. I'm going to continue to play your music. And when you hit me up and tell me I got a new track, I'm going to continue to play it. But that's what I can do. The problem is, what are the rest of us going to do? Avenue, so do you have an answer to the dysfunction of the fucking black community?
The only thing I can say, man, And I deal with this a lot, is like, if it's a group of people that have talent, and somebody's talent is getting noticed first, that somehow creates fear. It has to be a talk between each other. Just trust me to get put on, I'm going to put you all on. Then when they get on, they put their peoples on, and then it goes down the chain and the chain, and then what do you know? The black-on-black crime will stop. It'll be a lot more black businesses, a lot more successful artists. They promote this rap beef. They get money off that. They like when somebody is setting up somebody. Like, even look at these interviews that they have these artists just put in to where they pay these people to ask these certain